Joe Rexroad from TheAthletic.com. Joe, we appreciate the time as always. And a lot of what we talked about here in the first half hour of the show is the news yesterday that Eve Pons is coming back to Tennessee. What did you think of that news and maybe the potential that it creates for Tennessee basketball this upcoming year?
Huge news to me, guys, and came down to the wire. Maybe a little false start in there and finally got the news that he's coming back. You know, I guess my initial thought when he entered his name was it makes sense. Go see how you match up and everything, and obviously things changed on that front. But, I mean, I believe that Pons is an NBA athlete, and I think he took a huge step as a basketball player last year. But it does feel like one more year is what he needs, get better with the ball, be a little bit more of a creator at the four. I just think that Pons Fulkerson 4-5 is such a unique combination. And then you think about the talent coming in, what Vescovi could be in his second year after really an unbelievable performance on short notice. And then the guy I think probably people won't talk about enough is Josiah James, who was hurt last year and I think is going to be a much different player this year. I mean, I think this is a top 10 caliber team. I think it's the best team on paper in the SEC and a team that can – realistically get after a Final Four.
Wow. And I know that it takes some luck to kind of get to a Final Four and a good draw in the tournament, but that is a realistic, you know, goal, I think, for this team, like you point out, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's yeah, you're right, Heather. First of all, luck, and I mean, look, 2 years ago, that team was absolutely good enough and, you know, had a bad few minutes early against Purdue and then watched Ryan Klein hit, you know, 30 footers and still almost won that game in the Sweet 16. But, you know, it's hard. You know, I mean, you have to be careful, obviously. And I'm thinking especially about Jaden Springer coming in, you know, to put too much on freshmen. But look, this is one of the most, if not the most celebrated classes in Tennessee basketball history coming in. You know, Victor Bailey is someone too. You hear people talk a lot about Oregon transfer, who I think is going to matter. I think the depth is there. The talent is there. You know, we still, I think, have to see, you know, on front court depth a little bit. But, you know, look at what Fulkerson became last year. He became so confident later in the season that he was either going to score or get fouled or you better double him. I mean, look at what Kentucky had to – look what he did up in Rupp Arena. I mean, there was just a lot of growth last year from some guys who now are coming back and are going to be key pieces. You don't want to put too much on the freshman because I still think that they have got to be a big part of that. And so we still don't know until we see them. But, you know, there's a certain level of reliability, you know, in basketball recruiting that you don't have in football recruiting. You know, I think those guys are going to come in and be good players, and then we'll see if they can be, you know, outstanding players. That's probably what it would take.
We're talking to Joe Rexroad from TheAthletic.com on Twitter, at Joe Rexroad. What has the last week been like since NFL training camps opened up, especially there in Nashville with the Titans?
Well, it doesn't feel at all like that. You know, I mean, right now there's testing and there's still people opting out and we're doing just, you know, a couple Zoom calls a week. You know, even usually by now it's like you're out there every day, you're watching practice. Poor Mike Vrabel has to talk every day, which, you know, gets irritating for him. Now he's got the nice, cushy one Zoom a week deal going and, you know, a couple Zooms with players. It's just so different, and it's going to take them a while to ramp up. The first practice will be a week from Friday, so the 14th will be the first time that we're allowed into the facility to watch them do stuff, and that's basically when they'll start doing football stuff. And I think pads go on April. Feels like, hey, who knows what month it is. August 17th when the pads go on. So, yeah, so far it's just, I mean, obviously right now around Titans camp, the big storyline is Vic Beasley still hasn't reported. At first it was unexcused. Now it's excused, but he still hasn't reported. And so the opt-out date, it has been reported, will be 3 p.m. Thursday. That was supposed to be a week after they signed the CBA, but the NFLPA agreed to make it a hard deadline of Thursday. So we'll know who's in and who's out in the NFL season. And you know, as each day passes, you just start to assume that maybe considering an opt-out is part of what's going on with Vic Beasley and that he won't be part of this team. And if that's the case, that's their biggest free agent signing that was an attempt to address their biggest weakness, which is pass rush. So, one, it would be a huge hit to them. Two, it would make a pursuit of Jadeveon Clowney almost desperate at that point.
Joe, when you look at who all is reported, how the Titans are conducting everything, and I know that you don't have a lot of transparency to see what's going on behind closed doors, but do you feel like there is anybody that was maybe hesitant to report to camp, has reported, and now is considering or mulling opting out for the season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know of anyone. You know, a couple of players actually who just had babies spoke yesterday. Taylor Lewan, his wife just had a baby, and Kevin Byard's wife is due any day now, he said. And both of them were pretty, you know, adamant that, you know, they talked about all the options, but they were all in on playing. So, like, I would not be surprised if another name or two pops up between now and the opt-out date, you know. But at this point, there's only been one player, and that was an undrafted offensive lineman, Anthony McKinney from TCU. Again, Vic Beasley, don't know everything going on with him. I mean, it could be, it may not be COVID-related at all, but it sure feels like he's debating playing for whatever reason this year, which, again, would be crushing for the Titans. But, you know, there's been some big names out there. Of course, the Patriots have had a lot of names, and I think before this week's over, we'll see some other significant names in this league deciding not to play.
Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. Joe, have you gotten any sense from Mike Vrabel or anyone else hearing what they've said around the league, just how different this preseason will be, how it might affect them once they get the regular season going?
Well, I think around here in particular, the practices are going to be very physical relative to how they usually are. And of course, you know, some of that has been collectively bargained in terms of less, you know, contact practices and all that stuff. But whatever the Titans have available to them, they are going to try to be as game-like as possible because there's no preseason games. And I'm sure that that's going to be the case for most, if not all, the other teams. I mean, you've got to, first of all, if you want to cut from 80 to 53, you've got to see some people in as many situations as possible. Like Mike Vrabel said, they've got a rookie, Darrington Evans, they drafted in the third round. He's going to be the third down back, likely. He's going to be Derrick Henry's backup. He's a guy who's going to be important this year. And Vrabel said, like, I don't want the first time he gets tackled for real, you know, to be in that Denver game on Monday Night Football. Like, he's got to get tackled, you know. He's got to hold on to the ball against NFL players tackling him. So some things that you just knew would take place with these preseason games, there's a certain level of, you know, reliability with being able to evaluate everyone and get people ready. That's all gone. So that is one change for sure. They are going to, the practices with preseason games, very few of them really that physical. A lot of walkthrough stuff and a lot of sort of half, you know, obviously you're trying to keep everybody safe. I think the Titans are going to have some old school, I don't know if they're going to have like bowl in the ring, Oklahoma drill stuff, but, you know, but they're going to get after each other a little bit.
Hey, Joe, do you anticipate there, especially when you can factor in everything that's happened in Major League Baseball with the different postponements and things like that in regards to some teams, but do you anticipate there being any sort of revamping or retooling of the NFL schedule to this point to try and keep maybe teams more regionalized, or do you foresee any changes?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think someone on CBS had an interesting kind of regional schedule idea today, and it's not a bad idea. I don't think it'll happen. I mean, I think there were a few things that they could have done. You know, Taylor Lewan, I asked him about this yesterday because he tweeted a couple weeks ago about how there should be a bubble initiative, and, you know, how much he'd be all in on that, and he thinks it would make a big difference. And as we've seen in sports, guys, bubble good, no bubble bad so far. I think you could make a case for trying to have some sort of regional bubbles, put a few teams in it. Now, you know, then you still, how do you play a full season, all that? I mean, you got to get creative. But, I mean, at this point, as we stand, you know, what, 5 weeks from the start of the season? I mean, I think I'd be shocked if they, you know, did something like that. I mean, I think they're locked in on this regular season, and I think there's a real chance that we see, obviously we're seeing all these MLB games canceled left and right. Now, that's a very different sport. They travel all the time. I think there are some risks in baseball that you won't have with one game a week in football, but I would not be surprised at all if you've got, you know, an NFL team that played 13 games and one that played 15 games. And you know, like, I just don't know if they're going to be able to, if they have outbreaks, you know, quickly go replacement player all over the place and still put on some of these games. But I believe they're going to press forward with this just normal traditional schedule.
So you're not ready to guarantee a start and complete finish of the college football season this fall, Joe?
I'll just do it, Joe. We won't hold it against you.
Put me down for 100% confidence. Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. I tell you what, I mean, the Big Ten alone, just look at this week. You've got Northwestern doubled to, what, 20? Oh, for one dorm party, they got like 28 cases. An Indiana player has serious stuff from COVID that his mom posted, all really scary stuff. Minnesota's best receiver just opted out. There's a couple more in there that I forget. But just that league, you know, where, you know, in some of that parts of that league, it's really the virus isn't all that bad. So, man, students starting coming back. I mean, look, I'm at this point, I'm just fascinated to see how it will all play out. But, man, it is so complicated and so sticky.
Yep, 2020, that's where we are. Read Joe's work, theathletic.com. Keep up with what's going on with the Predators and the NHL, having started back up as well, on Twitter, at Joe Rexrow. Joe, we appreciate the time each week. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys, thanks so much for having me. See you later.